Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
You know what? I think it's time to dust off some of the items on the shelf and welcome you all into the general store. Because I've got some odds and ends that I need to go through before I get rid of, or before these items get backed up.
You know? It's the general store, the odds and ends. Prior to Preston Elliott, so glad to welcome you inside. This is just another way that we prepackage the same crap we do all the time.
So don't you see me as wearing like an apron?
Yeah, like Sam Drucker.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
You don't know what because he's not a butcher. You don't know what that's for.
No, I don't know why. All right, so come on in because I got some things to sell you here. We'll start with this, actually.
Licorice is only $5 a stick.
We had Steven mention the story that he sent over to me, and I wanted to have a little bit more room for it, and we're going to do it here. But our good friend Michael Giacchino is what this story is about. Most movies get their composers in, behind the scenes deals, but The Batman is a bit different. This happened publicly. I'm sure it was planned ahead of time.
Yes, it wasn't a shock, but it was still very cool.
But the agreement on stage happened at Royal Albert Hall, where Michael Giacchino, for those who may not be familiar, we've mentioned him many, many, many times on the air here. He's a composer. He's given us great things like the movies. The Incredibles and Up and Ratatouille and Zootopia, and we went out for Spider-Man Homecoming and saw him working in the studio. He is going to do the film The Batman. He's going to
cast him.
And apparently Matt Reeves, the director, asked him to do it on stage at Royal Albert Hall.
In an actual proposal.
Yeah.
So he got down on one knee.
Yeah.
I believe that Giacchino was dressed as Godzilla.
No. David Arnold was dressed
David
as Godzilla.
Arnold? Okay. Yeah.
Giacchino was out. And actually, Steve, I read the article too, and it says that Giacchino was dressed as Godzilla, but he was not. He was there for a composer battle-off with another guy named David Arnold, and for whatever reason, David Arnold decided, who has composed Godzilla, to do the composition dressed as Godzilla.
But why not?
Giacchino was dressed like a normal guy.
All right.
Yeah. So he's going to do the Batman, which is awesome.
I love it. Matt Reeves, so I watched Cloverfield over the weekend, the original one, which Matt Reeves directed, and Giacchino did the score. So, listen, and the Apes movies, I don't know if you watch the Apes movies as they progress, Matt Reeves directed those.
I have not, no.
And I saw the first one, and I was like, okay, and then I sort of, moved away, and then I came back after they were all completed and watched them. Mm-hmm. They're really good.
Yep.
Really good. So Matt Reeves is a solid director. The Batman, I think Robert Pattinson is a solid choice. We'll see where we go. And then Michael Giacchino, the music. And over the weekend, I was retweeting the announcement and saying this will be, we'll save him the work of having to invite us. Yes, we would love to come out and be present for a live broadcast from the studio.
Yeah,
the Batman.
He's asked us in a tweet to come and broadcast from his house.
Yeah.
Do our show from his house.
And I already pre-thanked him for the fully working Batmobile that he will...
That he's going to present to you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Because I know he would be bashful.
So we'll have to see if we can make something like that.
Oh, my God.
I think he's going to call us on Wednesday of this week. I talked to him a little bit last week.
Awesome.
And he's in London, or was in London either until yesterday or until today. So his travel plans were kind of up in the air. But hopefully at some point this weekend, it looked like Wednesday was going to be open for us, which would work for him.
What a talent.
Yeah.
What an
amazing. And
talent.
He'll do a great job with the Batman.
Yep, he will. Okay, what else do we have in here, folks? Step right up. Let me
take a look on this shelf.
Hey, here's something I think you'll enjoy. Qantas Airlines enjoyed its first nonstop flight from New York to Sydney on Sunday.
Whoa. And how many hours was that?
It is the world's longest nonstop commercial flight, which was used to carry out tests to evaluate the effects of very long flights on crew fatigue and passenger jet lag. A total of 49 people were on board the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, which landed after a 19-hour and 16-minute flight.
19 hours and 16 minutes. But those are absolute things that you need to be concerned with. Crew fatigue.
Oh, my God.
Also,
yes.
Getting up and moving around to stop, blood clots and things like that forming in your legs.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are things that you have to be concerned with.
The flight was part of Project Sunshine, which is Qantas's goal to operate regular, nonstop commercial flights from Australian cities Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne to London and New York.
So, Preston, were they running also studies on the luggage plane that was following that plane?
They're going to do that in the next. Okay. They're going to be concerning themselves with people first.
And then the luggage plane.
And then the luggage plane later on. Man, you would have to do a flight like that. you would have to make sure that every single seat has the ability to recline way back because I can't do it. There's no way. That flight back from Hawaii was a freaking nightmare for me. It was 5 hours from Hawaii to L.A., and then by the time we got to L.A., two-hour layover, and then the red eye back in here. And on that red eye, I was sitting in a middle seat.
Oh,
it did not recline enough. I couldn't sleep at all. And for that amount of time, you get some serious fatigue. I felt lousy. I felt physically lousy.
Which would have, honestly, you'd have to, or at least should, besides that, extra comfortable seats. You know, the way to do it would be the way they have it in Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, my God.
You know, those where you basically have like a suite with your own bed and everything.
Yeah,
and, but, I mean, obviously, that might be a premium cost. But
how much do you think that is?
That's probably, okay.
New York to Singapore.
When you watch the skip up on just traveling first class as opposed to a regular flight, sometimes it can be like 10 times the price.
Nick, right. I'd say it's got to be $20,000.
Oh, my God.
Or
really?
Something ridiculous like that.
If somebody knows who's a travel agent, let us know.
For the tiniest little bit of amenities, they jack the prices way up. And they do it in a very unique way. When you're online and you're booking your flight and it says, you know, it'll say something along the lines of, a bump up to first class for an additional whatever. And it has an amount. And you're like, hey, I can afford that.
I can do that.
And you realize that it's not exactly that amount. It seems like it's that amount, but it ends up being triple that. I don't know how. I've done it before. I've been deceived. I haven't actually paid for it.
It varies.
But I've started to go through it. And I'm like, wait a minute. That final total looks a little ridiculous to me.
It varies,
I can't justify it. Here you go. $23,000.
Unreal.
$23,000 on Singapore Airlines. That's the suite there.
Right, the suite there, and $23,000 for that. And how long is that flight, say, from here to Singapore?
It's long. My dad took it one time. It's like a 15-hour flight from what I understand, but
You get free champagne.
You get free champagne, so there's your perks.
Oh, it's free. Yes. It's not $23,000 champagne?
$1,000.
No wonder they end up crazy. Yeah.
Rose petals on the bed.
But I can't.
That's a stripper, by the way.
It's not the noise or anything like that when it comes to me being able to actually get shut-eye on a flight. It's the comfortable.
Comfort.
It's being able to position my body.
I love this illustration here. What airlines think humans look like pressing up on the screen.
Yeah, there's a picture of a guy who has a two-foot-long leg.
Normal torso and totally shrunken legs.
By the way, I finally did find a pillow that will work for me on a flight.
No way.
Does it come with a full bed?
The only problem is it looks like a penis and testicles. I kid you not. It's I'd have to show it to you. It looks phallic. You would not believe it. It's called it's called the J pillow.
Okay.
You seen it?
No, but I know what penis and testicles look like. So.
Oh, okay.
So describe it.
You can see those?
Yeah, I can see those.
Yeah, my uncle has.
Nah. Picture those. Saw one in the mirror this morning.
It's called the J pillow. Marissa, see
your neighbor's mirror.
If they can find a, there it is.
There it does. You're right. It looks like a hooked penis with testicles. So, how does one's head?
Well, you see the guy up there. There's a picture of him.
Oh, well, that would work.
It actually is a really good travel.
You have to have a bulkhead though to lean it to.
And it can kind of still work with that one because I sat in an aisle seat and managed to get comfortable.
So the guy next to you.
Do
you mind if I rest my pillow on your head?
It's crazy. Hang on a second. We have a travel agent. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning. First time caller. First time I've made it through.
But, awesome.
Thank you.
You guys forever.
Cool, man.
I used to work in travel agency, AAA travel agency down in Dover, Delaware. So most of the flights that I would get or that I would book were from either Philly, BWI, occasionally Dulles or even Newark, up in Jersey. When you ballparked $20,000 a couple of minutes ago, believe it or not, that is not out of the question. I remember someone was flying from Philly to Heathrow, London, they said, my mom's kind of old. Maybe we could bump her up to first class. And I said, okay, I'll check. And it was, I think, like $600. And it was the first class was, I believe, $12,000.
From $600 to $12,000. And let me ask you something, Mike. They do vacillate, don't they? So sometimes
Oh, flights are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I went to a training class, and they handed us this this sheet of paper as we sat down in our training class when I first got hired.
Oh, we lost him.
Goofy little.
Oh, there you go. Now you're back. Go ahead, Mike. We lost you. We lost you for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I passed under a bridge just then.
Okay.
They handed me this little paper as an introductory to our training class when I first got hired. And it was this goofy little analogy.
Yeah.
And it said, what if Home Depot sold paint like flights? And it says, okay, sir. Well, you can only use green paint on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Mm-hmm. You can only use red paint on Saturdays and Sundays. The yellow paint is sometimes $500, sometimes $20, depending on the day. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is actually how flights operate. It's
yeah.
ridiculous.
No, that's a very true analogy because
crazy.
I've known that sometimes I'll say, you know, well, let's check out what first class is. Mm-hmm. A difference of $600 to $12,000 for the same flight to Heathrow is outlandish.
It is.
Yes, it is. And you should have seen the look on the lady's face across from the desk.
Well, yeah. In good news, they could actually, she passed out and died. They just shipped her body over to Heathrow at an extreme savings. Yeah.
Wow. All right, Mike, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
Of course, I love you guys.
Thanks, bud.
Sorry
take care.
About the Eagles.
No, man. Me too, bro.
I confess I'm a Redskins man myself. I'm a transplant.
Well, sorry
originally
about the
from Ireland. But,
we noticed.
But then from D.C. So when I made the move. But anyways, I won't take any more of your time.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a great day.
You too, bud.
Right.
We'll see you. Yeah, that the and then you take a look at what you could get for $600
yeah.
versus the $12,000 amenities. It's not much. Well, I mean, you get more room and you're more comfortable. No question. But $12,000.
He made a good point with that sheet. It's like, you would like a hamburger? Yes, that'd be $600.
Yeah.
Would you like it with cheese? Yes, that'll be $12,000.
Right.
And so I think, like, every now and then I don't mind paying for upgrades or amenities or whatever. But to me, that doesn't seem worth it because it's the same plane getting you to the same place in the same amount of time.
Yep.
If you're in first class, I probably would just pass out for that amount of time. I wouldn't enjoy the experience enough to be worth it. I'd have to have FU money, like $1 billion.
To be honest, for me, it's about buying the chair. It's about buying the extra comfortable chair. Yeah. If you have any chance of getting sleep, I think you need something like that. Or at least the ones that have, you know, the little quasi booths with the reclining bed.
On the trip on our Hawaii vacation this past summer, I flew to Dallas first and then to Hawaii. And the flight from here to Dallas, I bumped it up not to first class, but to whatever class was up next. It wasn't business class; it was called something else.
Patrician.
And it was Patrician.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
No, it was worth it because it had a recliner where your feet yeah, exactly. It had a little bit more width room, and I was comfortable. I'm like, this is all I need.
Yeah.
This is great.
Give me something.
And it wasn't crazy more expensive. It was maybe $75 extra or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't hundreds of dollars more.
I disagree with you, though, Nick. I think if I had the money, that would be worth it. To travel like that, to be comfortable, and
sleep
when you talk but you talk about experiencing it, like sleeping and being able to get there and not be like a complete zombie.
That's the key.
To me would be worth it. Especially if it's a vacation, to start your vacation and be able to function. I'd love that.
Right. And I've said this all the time, and you have to do the cost analysis. But if you're going to say you're going to Rome, but for the first day and a half of your trip in Rome you're a complete zombie, you've wasted that money.
Yeah, hang on. Mark has been to Singapore 5 times in the last year and
Jesus.
A half. Hey, Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, bud. You doing this trip for work, I assume?
Yeah.
All right, what's that flight like?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Because, you know, again, for work flights, you know, they don't pay for business class or for first class. So I'm way in the back in you know, the economy section. Mm. And, you know, the thing that makes it worse is that, you know, when you get on the plane, you first got to go in where first class is.
Yes.
You have these pods and all these people with these luxury little units, and you got to walk all the way past them, you know, and you see these families with little kids. I mean, little kids.
Don't touch him. Don't touch him, dear.
Yeah, Mark, keep that in mind. That little kid is a $20,000 price tag, too.
I know. Yeah. They basically,
you know, say, hey, look, you know, spit on those people as they walk by. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
So, I like you in the back with the accordion, and they're all dancing and singing. Like the Titanic.
It gets so bad that when I finally arrive there, I have
taken a swig out of the same wine bottle. Yeah!
There's a fist fight. Yeah. In the back.
I want that shit! I want those mixed nuts!
I've got a friend who flies first class with her two kids, and she knows. She goes, people get on, they hate me. She goes, I know they do.
And she loves it.
Well,
no, she said that's how they fly.
Hey, Mark, how long is that Singapore flight direct?
So it is, it's usually 6 hours. I have to take 3 flights in a leg. So only recently have they come up with a direct flight. But now, normally I go from here to L.A., then from L.A., which is, you know, usually
5 hours.
Yeah. Then there is a flight from L.A. to Hong Kong, which is 14 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then there's a flight from Hong Kong to Singapore, which is another 6 hours on top of that.
So
actually, you pass the international date line.
Yeah.
So it takes 2.5 days.
You must be insanely confused by the time you get there.
Oh, it's horrible. And then when you finally get there, you know, I need to take an extra day off because I can't sleep on the plane, just like you. I'm the same person. I can't sleep at all. And so by the time I get there, I'm a waste. And so I basically have to get into the hotel and sleep for a day before I can do anything.
So you're a bit, I guess, obviously, because it's so outlandish to put somebody in first class or business class on one of those flights. But I think a company might consider, you know what, when we get this person here, we're going to gain back a day of productivity. So maybe it's worth the investment.
Yeah, you know, I'll get my boss to call you because
let me talk to him. I do a radio show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Mark. Wow, that's a travel day. Well, listen, they've tested this out. Qantas, the first nonstop flight from New York to Sydney. It's a 19 hours and change.
I wonder, like, Preston, by hour 17, if the in-flight crew is get it yourself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We've had it. We're on break. Man,
go to hell.
They have to sleep, right? I mean, the crew, the
everybody,
pilots.
Yeah.
Hey, you, hit that alert button one more time. I'm going to break your arm.
All right, let's find some other things that are for sale on the shelves of the general store here. Odds and ends, that's the...
Yeah, it's the general store, and Preston's the proprietor.
The segment that we're doing now. Granny panties are apparently back in fashion.
Love the way they smell.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
They're back in fashion?
Yeah.
Like underwear?
According to research.
I'm wearing them right now.
According to research from John Lewis, and this is, by the way, the story's out of the UK, so the word knickers is used a lot. Knickers are flying off the shelves.
Knickers is such a stupid word.
Bridget Jones style briefs have seen an 11% increase in popularity. And in contrast, restrictive lingerie hasn't been going down as well with customers. Sexy suspenders have seen an 8% drop in demand, while push-up bra sales have declined by 7%. Nancy Dressel, lingerie buyer, said 2019 was the year that we saw customers move towards more comfortable options when it came to the lingerie choices. Seam-free crop tops and fuller briefs were some of our best-selling items.
Okay.
Yeah. You can feel sexy, but you can still get some air on your balls.
I think when you said that, I immediately thought of, like, you know, like the big giant pair from Walmart.
Oh, my God. I told you the story when I was charged with picking up underwear for my wife before a trip, and I bought like a...
You bought that?
5 or 6 pack of those granny panties, having no idea what she wanted.
Seam-free crop tops and are much comfier and underwired and push-up bras. So than underwire and push-up bras. So it's no surprise that women are opting for these.
I assume like on a casual, comfortable level, they got to be much better.
And when it comes to panties, tight G-strings and thongs aren't always very functional.
Of course not.
High-waisted briefs, breathable knickers, and cotton shorts are readily available for customers this year. And the granny panties trend isn't the only comfy style to resurface in recent months. Apparently, earlier this year, the quote, and I'm quoting in this story, the full bush pubic hair style is back.
It's back.
Mm-hmm. Holistic.
The full bush pubic style is back.
Holistic OBGYN Dr. Eden Fromberg recently spoke to Vogue about pubic hair trends.
So, do you know anybody who is single who is could vouch for this supposed return to the fuller bush?
If you look to the porn industry, it is certainly celebrating that.
Yeah.
So the New York-based expert said many women grow out their pubes because they choose function over fashion.
Mm.
She said women are becoming increasingly aware that our bodies are a lot more than visual or sexual playthings. We want to express our diversity and power, live our preferences, mm-hmm. and feel comfortable in our own bodies without judgment by growing pubes.
By growing huge.
Well, I added that last part. By a big, huge,
messy bushes. No, I think ultimately it's your call. I, for my own personal taste, I keep myself fairly trimmed down.
Sure.
I mean, I don't go hardwood, but I keep it respectable.
Common courtesy.
I fumigate and delouse twice a week.
That's good. My dad told a story last night, and I want to ask you guys if
your mother has a huge bush.
No. I'm going back to underwear.
Would you come in here, Nick? I have something to tell you. I adore the woman, but it's gotten outlandish. I came into the room. And I was feeling randy, and I thought Sasquatch had beaten me in there.
Yeah. Had a nice dinner with the family last night. All being ruined.
Your mother's bush.
All right! It's gigantic.
That's enough. It's crazy. I fought in the war, and I never experienced in Vietnam, in jungles so thick you needed, the machete blade would become dull within minutes.
Sorry, Dad.
I haven't seen anything like this ever.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, what were you saying, son? you wanted to borrow the car, of course.
No. My dad was telling a story about a friend of his growing up, and he told this story at dinner last night. By the way, he's listening right now, Dad, so sorry about that.
Yeah.
Comment about mom's bush. Listen, have you guys ever heard of paper underwear?
This is
my question. And so he told this story about his friend Rich growing up, and that Rich, for a stretch of time, wore underwear that was made out of paper, and he did it because I guess they were disposable.
Yes.
And they were, you could, so he went through a phase, and I'd never heard of paper underwear before, so I just wanted to bring that up to see if anybody in the room had it or any of our listeners.
Wasn't it a fad for a little while?
That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was a fad, that it was something that they were basically disposable.
Yeah.
And you would wear them for a few days tops and then toss them out and then get a new pair.
Well, I wear them when I get a spray tan.
You wear paper underwear?
Okay.
They provide them, yeah, and then you just throw them out.
And then you're done, right?
Yeah, because
that way it protects your parts. You don't get sprayed on your parts.
Man, would you like your huge bush protected? I would say we should go with oak tag on this one.
And that way you don't ruin...
construction paper or cardboard.
You don't ruin underwear.
And your bush isn't in the lady's face.
Right. So...
Wow.
Wow. She's like this. Your bush is in my face.
Can you trim that thing?
Get your bush out of my face.
Now, we're looking at a picture of here of paper underwear. Do they make men's paper underwear? Marissa, can you see if they can search on that real quick? Because I don't know if...
And Rich Smith was not in the tanning booth, so he's not going to get a spray tan. He would wear them as functional and serviceable underwear. And then throw them away.
By the way, there's a text that says, will you forget about the bush for a moment? I was not familiar with paper underwear.
Yeah.
They do make men's paper underwear, but they're disposable. I can't imagine that they're used for everyday use. Like, there's got to be some other purpose to have this. And maybe, like, if you're... hiking or something like that? You go out on a camping trip?
It's just disposable. In the 30s, there used to be newspaper underwear, and they'd sell them on every corner.
I guess maybe if they're really, really cheap and you can buy a lot of them and there's just one less thing you have to wash, for a guy. I don't really know.
Yeah, but according to my dad and Rich, that this was a fad that he did for a little while and he got into wearing paper underwear.
By the way, my friend Rich used to wear paper underwear.
Uh-huh.
It's not like loose leaf paper. It had a diaper texture to it.
Yeah. I think it's like the stuff that Kathy's talking about in the tanning booth.
Yeah. The stuff they use to wrangle in her enormous bush.
I can get you a 10-pack for $3.99.
All right.
A 10-pack for $3.99?
Yeah.
So you get 10 days out of $4.
That doesn't seem worth it. Just wash your underwear.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't wash paper because it falls apart.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. Which, by the way, anytime you've been given these disposable things, when you go to the hospital or something like that, and they give you the, it's just none of that stuff is A, flattering, of course, not comfortable at all. The little fake, you know, shoes that you kind of slip on, or just
I like
all
the
that.
Socks that they give
I'm
you.
I'm not mad at the socks. I like the socks.
With the little grippy bottoms on them.
I have said, and I know you agree with this wholeheartedly, Preston, there needs to be a revolution,
yes,
a quantum innovation in hospital gowns.
There does.
They're horrible.
When you go for an MRI now, at least at Penn, and you guys know this as you've been there, they give you two of them now.
Yes.
You put one on forward and one on backwards. I'm like, why not just make one where you don't have to do all that?
Yes.
It's like a robe.
Why don't you forget about the gown?
Yes.
I do like a moment. Hospital socks are great.
Well, that's what he was saying. Yeah, with the little grippies on the bottom.
Yeah, but using that material in the gown.
Using that material in the gown.
Yeah.
As the gown?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and they can't make a robe like you suggested. The reason why they have it so it opens in the back is so you don't have to be completely naked. So, you know what I mean? You can cover your front or you can...
Well, there's got
to
be the
I know. I understand. There's got to be a better way.
The methodology is dumb. And then, I'll hold it there and I'm like, am I putting my head through the armhole? Yeah.
Nobody knows how to do it.
And I hate when you have to sit bare ass on the paper.
Yeah.
And it like... I'm sorry. Am I the only one where it crawls up your ass crack?
I do not like it. I do not like it at all.
It always rips by the time I'm done. It's torn, and then my butt ends up on the actual, you know, pleather material or whatever that is. I'm like, okay, what was the point of the paper being here?
Your ass eats the paper.
Yeah, Casey's ass eats, swallows the paper, apparently.
It's like a goat.
All right. Anyhow, so granny panties. And full bush back in fashion, according to this particular story.
Right. Most of all, I remember grandmother's bush.
Should I do one more case?
Yeah.
All right, man, there's so many different ones here. I don't want to land on something that's too heavy.
Well, because it'll break the shelf.
Yes, it will.
At the general store.
Let me...
The odds and ends.
That's right. We're going
through the proprietor.
Odds and ends here. All right, because I do have some things that are a little bit serious. All right, should I stay with fashion?
Yes, for Kathy. Let's give her a good Monday.
More granny panties.
There's a thing called flip-flop socks.
Okay.
Which aim to keep your feet warm while still allowing you to wear flip-flops.
Oh, I have them.
They've kind of had them for a while, like the short socks.
I have them for a pedicure.
Okay. So this is probably what you're talking about. What in the world did they just pull up?
That's the ninja boot.
Yeah, there's a picture with...
Well, that looks like it could be a flip-flop sock, too. Okay, so mine, the toenail, obviously, is out the top so that I can still get a pedicure and wear socks.
So these have exposed toes and heels.
Okay, mine has a heel.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's basically like if you have a like an ankle wrap.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Okay, so...
Chips and a Coke.
Julie Deno, owner of Etsy store Off the Hook by Julie, is located in upstate New York, and she sells homemade crocheted flip-flop socks online. She said, I would prefer to be barefoot, but in the winter, it's too cold in upstate New York to do that. She says her design, which features exposed heels and toes, was inspired by several sock patterns. The openness allows wearers to easily slip into their flip-flops or sandals, but also aims to prevent slipping in activities such as yoga and gymnastics.
Gymnastics and flip-flops?
So you can No. Oh. So you take your flip-flops off, and then you still the pads of your feet basically are touching the ground and can kind of grip.
So I wear socks that have, you know, and I wear them for hiking a lot, which they have no toes in the...
Yeah, I remember you telling me about
that. Yeah, and they're sort of a compression sock.
Yeah.
So you're in there comfortably, but it doesn't, the fabric of the sock doesn't pull back on your toes when you're on an angle.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Isn't part of these socks like to prevent your feet from getting cold and when your tootsies be freezing with the being exposed like that?
Yeah, but I guess you get some warmer, partial warmth from
is
that.
So I'm looking at this leg here. Is this a, is that a man's leg?
Those are cankles.
Yeah.
They're just kind of wide ankles, I guess.
Yeah, the ladies who, they went back to, they're from Korea, and when they went back, they bought all of these socks. They brought them back, and everyone who comes into their store last Christmas got one kind of as like a little gift. So
okay.
I wear them every time I go in the wintertime when I go to get a pedicure.
Do you guys get stuff from Etsy every now and then?
Yeah.
I've never gotten anything from Etsy. Do you?
It's very, you know,
crafty,
creative and stuff. And so sometimes I'll just do a blind search on a search engine, and it'll take me to Etsy, as you can find this
like a paper bush cozy.
Exactly.
I bought you shorts from Etsy.
Oh, the fisherman shorts. Yeah. I love those shorts. Yeah. Those are great. They do have some good stuff on there. And,
I've never I should check then.
And I've started to, I finally got a Pinterest account. And that's kind of cool. There's some neat stuff on there.
Well, I told,
you finally got it like 20 years later.
I did too. Within the past 6 months, I did as well. And I put the things that I like and I get my notifications. And I never look at them.
Yeah. Oh, you don't?
Hardly ever, no.
I found a lot of good recipes.
That's what I use it for. Recipes and nail art. No, I do.
You cook?
No. Well, most of them are desserts.
Okay.
I want to see what people make for food.
Yeah. I did it for backyard designs. Because
you're redoing your backyard.
Well, yeah, well, possibly, maybe, I don't know. You just keep going back and forth. Yeah, and you get ideas, but like, I really don't know how to really do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, somebody needs to help with the visualization of it, and that's what these types of things
do. No. I mean, I don't know how to do Pinterest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm still not finding.
I don't know how to do Reddit.
Yeah. It's just reading.
I didn't even know you did Reddit.
I don't.
I'm just saying, period.
Yeah. Oh, you in general.
Like, isn't it? Don't you just read things?
The plural you. Well, you can. There's like a way to do it
to contribute.
Yeah, to be more effective on your Reddit.
Oh. I don't know.
I never want to get to that point.
Neither do I. But anyhow, if you want your flip flop socks, you got to go on Etsy and you can get those there.
Don't you sell them at the general store there? The odds
we do. Come on in, partner. Partner. Well, it's the banjo, maybe. Yeah. Feel that way. Anyhow, thank you. These were a few things that
were... Thanks for coming by the Odds and Ends. Prior to Preston Elliott, bid you a fond farewell. Won't you return soon?
I can't say y'all come back now, right?
Why don't you bring back that wife of yours, the one with the super huge bush?
Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.